Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
This time last week, we were digesting the unlawful killing verdict from the Stardust inquest. That all 48 people who died that night, in fact, 49, the number is now 49 because one of the victims was pregnant. 49 people who died that night were unlawfully killed. That was the verdict of the Stardust inquest. There's a podcast has dropped in the last 24 hours and will go on for 7 or 8 weeks that I think we all need to hear.
I suddenly realised, I remember saying, Michael is not coming home. I couldn't go to the door dead, but I knew Michael wasn't coming home.
In the early hours of February the 14th, 1981, 48 young people died when fire engulfed the Stardust nightclub in Artane, Dublin.
And he said, place is on fire, we're not going to get everybody out. Tell the officer to send absolutely everything that you have.
Nobody saw it coming. If they did, it was already too late.
Just people were screaming outside. You could hear them screaming.
846 people came through the doors that night. 44 would never come out. 4 more died in hospital. It was one of Ireland's most catastrophic tragedies.
And then everything went black. And everybody started squealing and roaring and you could see the flames, do you know what I mean? And everybody then, it was just like wild animals.
Getting out was a lottery.
It was a state play. And bars on the window, so we couldn't get out.
Only fate decided who lived and who died. Those who escaped and those left behind were doomed to forever live in the suffocating shadow of Stardust. For some survivors, they never really got out. And for the families left behind, their souls were taken with their kids inside that building.
Those that got out of the building got out of hell, but we've lived in hell.
They were left at the mercy of an uncaring state.
I want to know why the state interfered. I want questions answered.
The families vowed to battle for justice.
This is the story of the Stardust tragedy.
Brought to you by the Irish Sun.
That's the voice of Damien Lane, the narrator of this podcast, and a man who's done a heck of a lot of research into it over the last number of years. Damien, I was reminding listeners last week of my own memories being a young, very lazy teenager lying at home in my bed, wanting to wake up to watch the telly And then this story's on the news. And it only occurred to me as I read more and more and more over the last days in between. God, at the age I was at the time, and had I been in Dublin, I could have been in there. Morning.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was the Stardust was the mecca for people around North Dublin, the working class people of North Dublin. You know, who, they worked hard all week and they scraped together a few bob to go to the disco, and the Stardust was the place to go. So everybody who was anybody was in the Stardust in the years that preceded the fire. You know, so it was kind of, it was an iconic place, a place where everybody went on a Friday and Saturday night. And this Friday night, this Friday the 13th. Valentine's weekend disco, for want of a better word, was packed out. More than 800 punters in there, some as young as 14. So it was a place that people went. I mean, that the likes of Dickie Rock played there, Ian Dury and the Blockheads, the Specials, people might remember them, Joe Dolan. So it was the place to be.
How far back does your own interest in it as a journalist go?
Well, it goes back right to the beginning, really. I mean, I was 11 years of age in 1981, PJ, probably slightly younger than yourself, but I remember it. I remember the Stardust then vividly. I mean, it was my kind of coming of age as a kind of a very young child, you know, a political coming of age as well. I mean, the story of the Stardust, you know, has been 43 years in the making. But it's really a story that encapsulates all that was wrong with Ireland in the 1980s, you know. Tragedy, I mean, it was a tragic night, but it was how an uncaring state really treated those who had nothing. The families and the survivors, they really had nothing. And they relied on the state in the aftermath of the fire to stand up and do its job, and it didn't.
Is it fair to say, Damien, as an analysis, and like many of us, I've read more probably in the last week than I had done in the intervening years before it.
True.
It was a state that tried to make it go away.
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, that, you couldn't hit the nail more on the head. I mean, we're talking about Charlie Haughey's Ireland. And for those who didn't live in the 1980s, you know, it was a place where kind of, it wasn't the utopia the kids of today think it is, you know. I mean, far from it. It was, especially if you're a working class, they were pretty miserable times, you know. Finding work was almost impossible. You know, hundreds of thousands of people emigrated because they had to. Those that stayed behind kind of lived in a place which was riddled really with political corruption. Dreadful public services. You know, the Catholic Church were still kind of kings of the land, for want of a better word. There was crippling inflation, grinding poverty. So that's the Ireland of the 1980s, from where the Stardust kind of emerged, really. And the story of the Stardust is kind of the story of the 1980s.
It was Charlie Haughey's constituency, wasn't it?
It was. Dublin Central. Dublin North Central was his constituency, yeah. But I mean, if you look at what happened in the aftermath of the tragedy itself, within 3 days, Charlie had set up a tribunal of inquiry. Why so quickly? I mean, the cause of the fire, you know, those, apart from the inquests which happened a year later, which were, how should I say, perfunctory, would be an apt word. They too lasted 3 days. I mean, those inquests, the jury were instructed to concentrate solely on how the 48 victims died. They weren't allowed to explore the cause of the fire, to attribute blame, nothing. So it was a sham, for want of a better word. Then the tribunal of inquiry, which was set up by Mr. Haughey, you know, that heaped further pain on the victims' families and the survivors, because it arrived at a conclusion after 122 days of evidence, without any evidence of it whatsoever, that somebody inside that building that night set fire to it.
They tried to blame the kids. They tried to blame the kids, Damien.
They didn't try to blame the kids. They blamed the kids. They said it was probably arson, somebody messing with matches, somebody lighting a newspaper on a seat. But that wasn't the case at all. So the inquests were 3 days, were a sham. The tribunal that lasted for 122 days branded them as criminals. And the families were told to go away. I mean, one of the women we speak to, Gertrude Barrett, who lost her son Michael, he was a DJ on the night.
That's right.
He didn't want to go to the disco that night. He said to his mum, "I'm worried about the electrics. The electrics are always overloaded." But he went anyway.
Yeah, the DJ always knows the electrics. Trust me when I tell you.
Well, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. You know better than I do. But he died that night. You know, you know, it's a story of betrayal of an entire community because they were poor, because they could be kind of pushed to one side. We don't want you anymore. Gertrude was given a body bag with the number 38 in it, she told us, and told to just leave us alone. We don't want you anymore. But she said to us in the podcast, "There's no way I'm going to let my son die like that." And she spent the last 43 years, along with the other families and survivors, fighting for justice. It took them 43 years, PJ.
I know. And I was sitting listening to Joe Duffy, because in fairness, Joe's programme went live into the outcome of the inquest. I say one thing, Damien. I don't know if you know her, but Myra Cullinan used to be the coroner here in Cork. And as a journalist myself...
Yes, I do know her, yeah.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
As a journalist myself and a court reporter, I sat in many, many of her inquests. And the minute I saw her name attached to this one, I said, if anybody can get to the truth, it's Dr. Cullinan.
Absolutely thorough, impeccable and pristine in everything she ever did. And she delivered a inquest 42 years too late, but she delivered a public forum for the truth to emerge finally from the pall of smoke that hovered really over the North Inner City for so long, you know.
Mm. Here's a typical story, actually, one of the most harrowing, Damien, like Bridget McDermott. She lost 3 children. She doesn't even remember, even now, she doesn't even remember burying them. William was 22, George was 19, Marcella was 16. She told her dad she was babysitting but snuck off to the club. Sure, what teenager hasn't done that? And no, exactly. Bridget McDermott's marriage broke down as well as a result of the tragedy. That's a family utterly destroyed. And you'll note, Damien, I know that the preview there says 48. You'll note now that the official figure is up to 49 because one of the women was pregnant.
Yeah, indeed. She was pregnant that night. I mean, all of the stories are so unique, but in a way, they're all the same in that the stories are one of incredible loss, but then of an insult that was attached to each of those losses that persisted for so long and was allowed to persist for so long. I think the fact that it was allowed to persist for so long is kind of what's more damaging and soul-destroying than anything else.
Yeah.
Why did it take 43 years for this to be kind of turned on its head?
Well, the late, great Charlie Board would have told you it's because of where they came from.
Well, there's an element of that, absolutely. But if you consider that Charles J. High, the man who liked to ride a horse, the man who told us in 1980, it's time to tighten your belts, folks. Well, he was off swanning away in fancy restaurants and wearing chaves, silk ties and wining and dining and having bank loans written off. I mean, he was the guy in charge. He was the guy that kind of basically...
It happened in his constituency. It happened in his constituency. And he tried to make it go away. He did his level best to make it go away. And actually, there's a great book written. Gary Murphy wrote a biography of Charlie Haughey, and this is touched on in the book. It's a big tome of a book, but it's worth a read. The podcast has dropped on Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your stuff. The first episode is out. One question for you, Damien. Now that the verdicts of unlawful killing have been reached, there is the possibility that this will go back to the Gardaí. Do you touch on that in the podcast?
We do. I mean, obviously, when we were researching and writing it and producing it, obviously the unlawful killing verdicts hadn't dropped, but they've dropped now, and that will form a very, very good chunk of the final episodes in the podcast. I mean, essentially, Commissioner Drew Harris has ordered the Cold Case Unit to begin an investigation into Maura Cullinan's, the coroner's file from the inquest. And that's something the families really need for complete closure. The unlawful killing verdicts last week were one step. The state apology that happened on Tuesday, Simon Harris's heartfelt apology in the Dáil, was another step. But it's not enough. More needs to be done. One of the things, actually, that needs to be done immediately is a proper redress scheme, financial redress scheme for the survivors and the families.
Mm-hmm.
If you can take yourself back to 1985, three years after the tribunal report and 3 years after the inquests, they approached the families with take it or leave it compensation offers as low as £7,500, the equivalent of 40,000 in today's money.
Mm.
And if you consider that because of the tribunal report, which said that the cause of the fire was probable arson, the guys who owned or leased the Stardust, the Butterley family, sued Dublin Corporation for criminal damage and were awarded £561,000 in compensation.
As Christy Moore refers to in that wonderful song. Yeah.
Yes, and the only guy who was ever brought to justice for what happened in the Stardust was Christy Moore for singing that song.
That's right. That's right. You're right. It ended up.
So proper redress is the next step for the state to take, proper financial redress. And then the final hurdle that the families want crossed is for there to be a proper Garda investigation into what happened that night. And if there's any culpability, for that to happen in the courts and to be, for justice to finally be done.
Do you think?
So we're only halfway there.
You're doing this a long time and you've worked hard on this podcast and I look so forward to listening to it, particularly the post-inquest episodes of it, lad. Do yeah. you think there is any possibility that anybody will ever, and I'm not naming anybody or suggesting anybody's name here, do you think there's ever a possibility, Damien Lane, that anybody will sit in a box in a court to face charges here?
Well, as being someone who grew up in the 1980s and knows how Ireland works and has been a journalist for nearly 30 years now, and more than yourself, there's, we have a kind of a jaundiced eye on how the machinery, the state, clicks. I doubt it very much, PJ. I hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I hope for the family's sakes and for the sake of the survivors who have lived with the scars of that night for all their lives, I hope that somebody or some institution or whatever it is brought to justice, and the families and the survivors can finally close the book and achieve some kind of catharsis, you know. Can you imagine kind of waking up every day and the first thought in your mind is for your child who died that night?
My child was killed. My child was unlawfully killed that night.
Unlawfully killed that night, yeah.
That's what I'd think as a father, and I am a father. I don't know if you are.
Yeah, I am. I have two sons, yeah. Correct, and they're in their 20s.
If I woke up every morning,
thank God.
If I had to wake up every morning thinking that either of my children had been unlawfully killed, I wouldn't rest until I put their killer behind bars.
Well, you couldn't. You couldn't. I mean, and so it's not only a necessity that justice be done in the courts. The state really and the institutions of the state have a moral responsibility to ensure that it happens, because you know how can they leave a verdict like that alone. They can't. So it's good news that the Gardaí and Drew Harris has ordered his best detectives in the cold case unit to take this on, because they will go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and anything that they can stick their claws into, get their teeth into, they will. And it may take time, but it won't take 43 years. And the families and the survivors are willing to wait. They've waited so long now, they're willing to wait that extra bit to finally achieve closure, you know.
All right, listen, the first episode of the podcast has dropped. It'll be dropping weekly on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast. It's simply called the Stardust Tragedy Podcast. I look forward to listening to it. And go and read it. If you're a bit young and you're not quite sure of the size of the story we're talking about, go and read it up. Just look up the Stardust Tragedy. Look up Stardust Tragedy Pen Pictures. It was one of the most stunning things they did, Dr. Cullinan, at the inquest. Damien, thank you. The coroner, Dr. Cullinan, got each of the parents, each of the families, to draw up a little pen picture of the people who were unlawfully killed. In fact, I think from this moment forward, I will never again say the people who died in the Stardust. I will say the people who were unlawfully killed on that night in 1981. Read those pen pictures. If you did nothing else this weekend, if you want to familiarise yourself, if you're a bit young, you don't fully understand the gravity of this. This was one of the biggest stories of my childhood. This is one of the biggest news stories of my childhood, my teenage years. And it's still open and it's still ongoing. Thank you, Damien.
Cork's 96 FM.